Joe was planning to preach this Sunday, but he had a rough week. So he found out why God don't give children to 60-year-olds, I guess. They were babysitting for a week. So I guess you're not thinking of adopting anytime soon, or are you? But I took his place. But I'm going to be speaking. I'd like to give a background a little bit. I'm going to be speaking out of Matthew. You can turn there, Matthew 15. But actually, turn to Matthew 11. I want to test your Bible knowledge a little bit. Turn to Matthew 11. And Abner had a message on John the Baptist not too long ago, and the question that he asked for Jesus, and the doubts that he had. And in Matthew 11, when John the Baptist was sitting in prison, he sent two of his disciples to Jesus. And how many of you remember the question that he asked? His disciples were supposed to ask Jesus. Who remembers that? Dad? James? What do you think it was, Dad? Or what was the question? Yeah, exactly. And he said, are you the one that's going to come, or do we look for another? And the answer Jesus gave to him was, to those disciples, was, go and tell John again. And that word impressed me, go tell him again, because if you remember that Jesus, or John the Baptist, was the one that would have baptized Jesus, if I have it right. And he would have heard the voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Okay, so, and the same John the Baptist that would say, when Jesus showed up on the scene, said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So do you think there was any question in his mind in those experiences of who Jesus was and that he was the Son of God? I don't think there was. But sitting in prison, when the doubt started coming into his mind, Jesus said, go show John again. So he had to be reminded again. And so John is human, and he need to be reminded just like us. And then Jesus in Matthew 11... he ends that little story or that scenario, and he told, well, I'll read Matthew 11, verse 5, says, well, he said, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the dead hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And then in verse 6, he says, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Okay, and that word in the Gospel of Matthew appears, I believe, 19 times. Among all the other Gospel writers, Matthew uses that word far more than anyone else, the word offended. And we're going to look at that a little bit. And if you turn, we're in Matthew 11, turn to, we had in our Sunday school lesson last week, I believe, chapter 13, Matthew 13, verse 21. And that is the story of the sower. And verse 21 says, and we studied this last week, and remember we talked about it a little bit. Jonathan had asked the question, well, I'll read the verse. Yet hath he not root in himself. This is the man that the seed fell in stony places, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Okay. There's the word again. And then over in the last part of that same chapter, verse 57. Actually, I'm going to read from about 54. 53, and it came to pass that when Jesus finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? And now I want you to look at, if you have your Bibles open, I want you to look at how many questions they asked right here. It was amazing to me. There might be a half a dozen, four or five questions, but I didn't even count them. But first one is, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? The second question, is not this the carpenter's son? Third question, is not his mother called Mary? And then the fourth question is, and his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Another question mark. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Another question. Whence then hath this man all these things? This man all these things? Another question. So there's probably half a dozen there. And then verse 57 says, and they were offended in him. They were offended. So there it is again. Now Matthew uses this word often. Okay, 19 times I believe I said. And then if you flip over chapter 15, we're getting closer to what I want to look at. Chapter 15, verse 12. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And if I'm right, I believe this was going to be our Sunday school. This was in our Sunday school lesson today. Instead, we had children's class, but I think this was the passage just beginning. But in verse 12, he had just told us, well, I won't go into it. He was kind of debating with these scribes and Pharisees. And then his disciples came to him afterward, and they said, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? So Jesus told them, it's not what goeth into a man's mouth that defileth him, but it's what comes out of his heart. That which cometh out of his mouth, this defileth a man. And his disciples came and said, what you said offended the Pharisees. Okay. Now, chapter 15, we're getting to where Jesus had this conversation with the woman. And why don't you all stand for this reading. Chapter 15, verse 21 of Matthew. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. All right, you may be seated. It doesn't use the word in here, but I guess what really impressed me, and maybe would be the title for this message this morning, was this woman. I would call it the woman that refused to be offended, because Jesus had just been trying to prove to his own people for how many chapters in Matthew he would have run-ins with the Jews, and he was trying to prove that he was God, he was the Christ, the Son of God. And it seemed that he could not, he proved it to some of them, but he could not get that point across. And then this woman comes along who is not a Jew. She's a Gentile, just like the one Santos talked about. She was not a Jew. And there was nothing Jesus could say or not say. Basically gave her the silent treatment that could turn her away or offend her. And the other people, it seems like they were offended just because Jesus, the one group of people, his countrymen, they were offended just because he was one of them, they thought, and yet where'd he get all his wisdom? And that just ticked them off. They were offended. So it's one of those stories that you read and you think, Jesus, you didn't actually do this, did you? You didn't. The treatment that he gave her was not something that we would teach our children to do, you know, or we don't think it was very noble. But Jesus, as Santos mentioned, the custom was that you didn't talk to a woman back in those days. So I think maybe that's actually why at first he didn't speak. And Jesus, if you think about it, Jesus dealt with different people in different ways, just according to their situation. So like the woman at the well, he spoke to her right away. Jesus had an unorthodox way of handling situations that the Jews couldn't stand. And so therefore, well, I lost my thought there on that too, but just like the message that Jesus sent to John the Baptist, what was the message? Blessed are the ones who are not offended in me. You'll see that as we look at this story, that if this woman at any time would have said, okay, I thought you were Jesus, I trusted in you, but now I'm walking away because of the way you treated me, that she would not have went away blessed because with that attitude. So the Bible has something to say about offending new Christians. That's a whole other subject in itself. But what we want to look at this morning is no matter what comes in your life, to not let that be a stumbling block or an offense to you. And that is actually what the word offense means. It means to stumble. And so now probably all of you in your life have known someone sometime or other that was your friend or acquaintance of yours that you said, you know, you just had to be really careful what you said. Or you say, if I say the wrong thing to this person, I'm going to offend them, or I'm going to tick them off or turn them off, and they won't be my friend anymore. How many of you all like to have friends like that? Well, I asked you this. How many of you all have actually been that guy where you were a little touchy and you got offended kind of easily? There might be a time in all of our lives, I think I can say, where I don't know, just for whatever reason in your life, whatever you're going through, you're easily offended. And I don't know if any of us can deny that or not. Maybe not everybody has, but sometime or another, whatever you're going through, kind of people can say something and you don't want to say you're offended, but you really are because you just, of the way you act. So we could probably all say that maybe sometime in our lives we were that guy. And so what I was saying before about Jesus trying to convince the Jews that he was God. I don't know where this woman heard about Jesus or how she came, found out he was in, it was basically Gentile territory, coast of Tyre and Sidon, it says in verse 21. But Jesus didn't have to try to convince her that he was God. And he couldn't even turn her away. And so the contrast of those two groups of people is pretty striking, that this woman knew what she wanted, and she believed that Jesus had the answer, and anything that he threw at her didn't turn her away, didn't offend her, didn't stumble her. And If you think about, I mentioned the way Jesus dealt with people. If you think about it, Jesus really wants to, he wants to get a reaction out of people, it seems like. If you think of the story that the rich young ruler, when he came to Jesus and said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Anybody know Jesus' response? One of the first things he said to this man. Anybody know? James. Yeah. "Why callest thou me good?" Now, do you ever stop and think about why Jesus said that? Do you think Jesus was suggesting that he was neither good nor God? Do you ever think about that? I don't believe he was. I think he wanted to get a reaction. He wanted to see where this man was at. I mean, Jesus knows all things, but he kind of wants people to open their mouth and reveal where they are. And I think that man didn't actually say it in these words, but he went away offended because of Jesus. It says he went away sorrowful. And I think the book of Mark says he went away sad and he was grieved. So I think he was offended. So Jesus kind of wanted to get a reaction out of him. I don't think he wasn't suggesting that he was not God to this man, because he'd been trying to convince the people that he was, or that he was not good. He wanted to get a reaction. And so this woman, I want to look at her reaction. First of all, to the children answered a lot of questions this morning, and they did really good. So this woman, it says in verse 22, a woman of Canaan. I want to ask the children, what land did God promise to his people, the Jews? Winston. A land of Canaan, a land that flowed with milk and honey. So this woman was a descendant of that people. And what do you know about those people? James preached on those seven groups of people. What do we know about them? Children, you remember? Maybe I should ask the adults, do you remember? Were they godly people? Were they pagan? How many do not understand the question? They were known as pagan people, okay? And they did not serve God. Excuse me. And there's a long history of conflicts between the people of God and the people of Canaan, if you read the Old Testament. Okay, so that's something to consider here with this story. And the woman's statement in verse 22 that says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." She is somewhat referring to the difference between herself and "you are a son of David," you know, one of God's chosen people who the line of Christ came from. And she is not. Okay, she's referring to the differences. And actually, there's probably three different times where that's referred to the cultural differences between those two groups of people in this passage. The other one would be in verse 20. When Jesus said, I'm not sent to the lost people, I'm sent to the house of Israel. And then in verse 26 again, it talks about the children's bread and the dogs being, the children being the people of God and the dogs being the Gentiles. So three different times. And at any point in this story, the woman could have walked away and said, "I am done with this man. I thought he was Jesus, but the way he treated me, I'm offended. I'm getting out of here." And if you remember John the Baptist, if she would have walked away at any juncture in this story, she would not have had the desire of her heart, which is her daughter made whole or healed. And so I want us to get that. And the woman's response, if you remember what I said, Jesus is looking for our response. The woman's response in this story is, she was a fast thinker, I believe, because I think it was brilliant, her response. I'm not come for you and your group of people, but I'm come for the Jews. And she was thinking so fast. However, I just love a response that, well, yeah, she agreed with God. This is not, yeah, you didn't come for us. She did not dispute that fact, but she countered it with, but surely we could get some of the crumbs that they don't want, they drop. And so I think that was, I think it was brilliant. And so I want to consider a few characteristics that this Gentile woman had that we need to have in our lives, or that we should have. And maybe you could be thinking about this question. Why did all these people that I mentioned, why were all his countrymen, the Pharisees, the parable where Jesus said, you know, the seed that fell on the stony soil, why were all these people offended because of Jesus and this woman was not? Why not? Consider that. And so one very evident, number one, very evident characteristic or trait that this woman had was humility, I believe. And James Hostetler talked about this morning, when you asked for help, now how many, I personally don't, I like to do things myself. I try to do things myself. And sometimes there is just, you come to a certain place in your life and you think, project, whatever you're doing, or a certain situation in your life where you cannot do it yourself. You need to ask for someone's help. And it's somewhat humiliating if you're a proud person, I guess I should say. If you're a humble person already, maybe it's not. But for people that are self-sufficient and want to do things for themselves, it's humbling to ask for help. So when James asked if whoever would raise their hand and they want prayer, you know, sometimes it's humbling to do that, to ask for help, ask people to pray for you. So first of all, she asked for help. Her situation was totally out of her control. And so she was humble enough to ask for Jesus' help, beg for help. None of us like to beg Jesus for help. And and then when Jesus responded in the way he did, first of all, he was silent. He didn't say a word. And how many of you have ever been ticked off at somebody and you give them the silent treatment? They talk to you and you just clam up. How many of you guys have ever did that to your wives? Don't raise your hand. How many wives have ever did to their husband? We don't do that, do we? But you know what I mean. How does that make you feel when somebody gives you the silent treatment? You talk to them and they just don't say a word. You just don't fall in love with them at that point. It don't make you like them all that good. But it didn't seem to faze this woman at all. And then the other thing I like to notice is when Jesus finally did answer her, when he finally did answer her, it was basically an insult. And so, you know, I'm not sent for you. First he didn't talk to her, then he said, I'm not sent for you, I'm sent for this group of people. And so the humility, it didn't seem to, I think she was so humble that she agreed with Jesus. She knew where she was in life and didn't seem to faze her. You don't detect any anger. You know, when someone does that to you, you tend to get a little upset. Well, he didn't talk to me. You don't detect any anger, any resentment. And it does not appear that there was much self left in this woman at all. And so obviously to me, she was humble. So that was point number one. And then number two would have been in verse 27. Verse 27, she said, "Truth, Lord." So basically, she agreed with Jesus. That would be another characteristic. She did not dispute the fact that of what Jesus said his mission is. His mission was first of all to his people, and she did not dispute that. She agreed with Jesus. Truth, Lord, but surely there's enough of your saving grace and power to trickle down to me. Okay, she agreed with Jesus, and so that was she accepted her status where she was in life as being not one of God's chosen people, and she'll take the leftovers. So humility and agreement with God, with Jesus. And so you know, you hear that. You see, in our society today, you have people groups or people who they almost enjoy being a victim. Did you ever notice that? And our society almost caters to that. In other words, for years now, this woman could have said, for how many years your people, the Jewish people, have been oppressing my people and fighting with them, and I am just a victim of that, and I cannot help it. I don't know if that sounds familiar to you in our society today. People almost want to be a victim, and we almost, society almost paints it up like, finally, if you're a victim, you're almost a hero then, if you know what I'm saying. You receive all the attention, the pity, and your group of people is, I don't know if you get what I'm saying, but I think you might, some of you. But she would have had a right to think that way. I cannot help, I was born into this tribe of people, the Canaanites. I'm just a victim of my circumstances. But she didn't even go there. She accepted exactly where she was and who she was and agreed with Jesus, but she refused to be a victim. So I think that can be a lesson for us. Wherever you are in your life and you think, oh, this is against me and that's against me, the other thing, I'm just a victim, you know, and then wallow in that. She refused to do that. So I think that could be something that we could consider. She accepted who she was, her status in life, and she was going up from there. She got to Jesus and she was going to get what she wants. And the next point would be that she would not give up. She persevered until she got what she wanted. And I said this before, but she, at any point in the conversation, she could have became insulted and walked off. And would she have been blessed? Would she have received what she came to Jesus for if she would have done that? And think about your own life. At any point, whatever you're going through right now, if you just give up and say, you know, I'm walking away. Jesus said to John the Baptist, blessed are they who are not offended because of me. Basically, you won't receive, if you walk away and you're offended, you won't receive a blessing. She persevered to the end and she got what she came to Jesus for. And these things we talked about, it proved to Jesus that of her faith in him. Jesus is always impressed with faith in the people that come to him. And he was so impressed that he gave her exactly the desires of her heart, what she wanted. And it wasn't a selfish request. It was for her daughter to be whole. It wasn't just something that I would like to have this. I don't think Jesus just hands out things that we want. It was not a selfish, it was for her daughter. And so Jesus was impressed and he honored the faith, her faith that sought mercy from him. And Jesus went, like Santos talked about, he went into Gentile territory with this woman, a Gentile woman, and performed a miracle And I'd like to point you back to the thing I looked at with his own people, his own countrymen that were offended because of him. The verse that I did not draw attention to, right after it says, they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So basically, you can easily see the woman, she received a miracle because she believed and she wouldn't turn away and become offended. They were offended and they would not receive. He couldn't even do much for them because of that. And so I thought that was an interesting comparison. And I had looked up the word. I like to look up the words in the Bible in Greek. And so I looked it up, the word offend. And it's basically the word scandalon. And that reminded me of a song back in, oh, I don't know how many, when that record came out. Michael Card wrote a song. I think he was the writer, but the song was called Scandalon. And so that's, I thought of that song. And so I looked up the lyrics, and the word, that's the Greek word for the word offend. And basically, the root word of that is, we have our word scandal, which we know if you follow any of the presidents, you know what a scandal is, or any politician, or, and so that's where they get stumbled up. It's a scandal, all the way from Watergate to what's the current scandals right now. Is Hillary's email, is that a scandal yet? That's all we hear for the last how long, but she's not a president yet. Anyway, back to the word scandalon. The chorus of that song I'd like to read to you. The song is, I think, yeah, it's called Scandalon. It says, he will be the truth that will offend them one and all. A stone that makes men stumble and a rock that makes men fall. Many will be broken so that he can make them whole. And many will be crushed and lose their own soul. And so I thought of that. That goes, that's sort of a paraphrase of the scripture in Luke 20 verse 18, where Jesus said, whosoever shall fall upon that stone will be broken, and whosoever it falls upon, it's going to grind him to powder. And so that's a last phrase, two phrases are paraphrase of that. And so, basically, what I'd like to encourage you with is whatever you're going through, whatever you're seeking in your life, and it seems like Jesus isn't maybe answering you, or when you do get an answer, it's maybe not what you wanted, don't become offended and turn away and say, you know, I was going to serve you, Lord, but the way you're treating me or what you're letting me go through, it makes me stumble, and I'm not, I'm giving up. So I'd like to encourage you, this woman only received her blessing because she persevered and did not become offended. And the people, the Pharisees, the other people that were quickly to become offended would not receive a blessing. They didn't get what they wanted. Or what Jesus, they didn't get what Jesus had for them. And so keep pressing on. Don't give up. Don't become offended what you're going through in your life. Don't stumble. And I think this is a great, it's an encouragement to me. I hope it was an encouragement to you. This woman, her faith was amazing, and Jesus was so impressed at her faith, and we need to have a strong faith like this woman. So I believe that's all I have to share. Joe, would you mind closing the service today?